Beautiful weather out there. And I thought this morning, let's talk about our lawns, about our yards, right? Might as well. 60-degree weather in the middle of winter is pretty neat. But let me tell you about yards. My son had a lawn mowing business for quite a few years, and as the dad, of course, I helped to mow many lawns with him. And when you mow lawns, you go from one lawn to the next. You go from one that has grass to one that has weeds with a few grains of grass. And so you're mowing different lawns. And one of the experiences that we found out was this one person who would tell us every year, or tell my son, he says, "I know my yard has a lot of weeds. I'm going to start fertilizing pretty soon. I must fertilize more. I know I need to do that." And so the one year to the next year. But then he would also joke and he'd say, "But you know, those dandelions, they're nice flowers. They don't look bad in my yard." And so here's what happened. 1 or 2 years later, someone new moved in next to him. And that neighbor started fertilizing his lawn. And that lawn that was mainly weeds now started turning into grass and not too many flowers left in his lawn. And this made the other guy change. I think what he discovered was this, that sometimes the neighbor's intentionality showed how useless his good intentions were. And so what happened was, soon the other one that we were mowing the lawn started fertilizing and realized one day that, you know what, dandelions really are weeds and they need to be taken out. And I think in our own lives we realize this, that there is times where we need to make a change. That we need to just state that dandelions are weeds. They're not flowers. And we can have good intentions in the yards of our lives. And we have to come to realize, like that neighbor did, that sometimes some areas of our life need some attention. But those times that needs attention, maybe we're not as intentional. That our good intentions sometimes, we're so good at good intentions that sometimes it keeps us from being intentional. And we say this, "I have good intentions. Sometime at a later date, I'm going to write that note." And you can feel good about those good intentions. "I'm going to write that note to that person I haven't wrote to for a long time. I'm going to make that phone call that I've been wanting to do for a long time." And we can feel good about our good intentions, that we're thinking about it. Or maybe we can say, "You know, I'm going to work on my finances. Or I'm going to work on my health or my exercise or my diet." But what tends to happen is, We hang in our good intentions, and we don't become intentional. But sometimes it feels good to live with that thought that we had at least good intentions. And last week we talked about this psychological thing that happens in our lives, this intention-action gap. That many times we live in between intention and action. And we mean well. We want to get to it, but we never seem to get around to it. And what happens is we have these ideas, we have these plans, we have these thoughts, and we really do mean it. And we're committed to it. And we're committed to make changes at some point. And so last week we started a 3-week series on King Josiah. I believe King Josiah modeled intentionality. We know that he was only 8 years old when he became king, quite young to take over as king. We knew that he grew up to follow the Lord with all of his heart. But it was not his legacy from his father or his grandfather, Manasseh or Amon. And we know that the Bible tells us that his grandfather Manasseh and his father Amon did evil in the eyes of the Lord. But in 2 Kings 22:2, we find out this, that Josiah did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and followed completely the ways of his father David, not turning aside to the right or to the left. And then at the end of his life, in 2 Kings 23:25, we have these words. Never before after Josiah was there a king like him who turned to the Lord as he did, with all of his heart and with all of his soul and with all of his strength, in accordance with all the law of Moses. In other words, we read in 2 Kings 23 this thing that he turned away from idols. His father and his grandfather was on the path of doing evil in the eyes of the Lord, but he turned. It wasn't just a matter of good intentions. He was intentional in turning. And he decided to go a different direction. But why? Paul gave a possibility, and as many of us have tried to figure out why would he do that. But I think one of the moments to where he went from good intentions to turning to God was found in 2 Kings 22:3, where it says, in the 18th year of his reign. In other words, he was 8 years old, and then 18th year in his reign would put him around 26 or 27. And he decided that he was going to clean up the temple. The temple had been in bad shape, and things were not good there. He was going to clean up the temple. And when he goes to clean up the temple, he sent workers out to start cleaning up the temple. And something happened when he was cleaning up the temple. All at once, they stumbled upon something. They found the word of the Lord in the temple. And in 22, verse 8 to 10, this is what we read. Hilkiah, the high priest, said to Shaphan, the secretary, I have found the book of the law in the temple of the Lord. He gave it to Shaphan, who read it. Then Shaphan, the secretary, went to the king and reported to him, your officials have paid out the money that was in the temple of the Lord and have entrusted it to the workers and supervisors at the temple. Then Shaphan, the secretary, informed the king and said, hey, king, Hilkiah the priest has given me a book. Oh, really? A book? And Shaphan read it in the presence of the king. And what we discover is that for the first time in Josiah's life, that the word of the Lord came to Josiah. They found the book. And he was exposed to this word of the Lord. And then in verse 11, it says this, when the king heard the words of the book of the law, he tore his robes and he was convicted. When he read the words of the book of the law, something changed in him. He was convicted of the sin of the nation. He was aware that they were not doing things the way that God designed it to be. He realized that they were out of alignment because they were not aligning themselves with the word of God. And then in verse 13b, it says this, great is the Lord's anger that burns against us because our fathers have not obeyed the words of this book. They have not acted in accordance with all that is written there concerning us. So Josiah realizes, the light comes on. He understands his heart is changed. He realizes that they have been not doing things the way that they are supposed to. That they were not aligned with God. So then Josiah decides to gather all of his leaders. And he tells them, he said, hey, I want you to go to Jerusalem. There's a woman, a prophetess there, that I'm hoping that she will have a word from the Lord to us, to tell us what to do next. Because they had rejected God. And they know what happened with his grandfather and his father. And in these words of God's anger against the people, the disaster will come. And so the prophetess has a message for Josiah. And in verse 22:19, this is what we hear. Because your heart was responsive and you humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard what I had spoken against this place and its people, that they would become a curse and be laid to waste. And because you tore your robes and wept in my presence, I have also heard you, declares the Lord. Therefore, I will gather you to your ancestors, and you will be buried in peace. Your eyes will not see all the disaster I'm going to bring on this place. So here we have a response. A word of the Lord for Josiah and for the nation. And I believe at this moment is when this intention-action gap was closed again for Josiah. He knew about good intentions, but he needed to be intentional. And so he knew that it being intentional meant that he had to change, he had to turn. And I think there were several things that happened to Josiah. One is this: his heart was responsive. His heart was responsive to the word of the Lord. And we can read this story about Josiah, and we can read about his ancestors. We can read about his father and his grandfather. We can take so many history lessons from Josiah. But can I just get down a little bit more personal than that this morning? This is not just a history lesson about our heart needs to be responsive. This is our legacy. This is the legacy that we carry on. This is the path that we choose. This is the path of our own lives. And we can study the life of Josiah, but we also need to study our own lives. That this responsive heart, at that moment, when the word of God struck the heart of Josiah, he had a decision to make. He could have good intentions, or he could be intentional. And God's word exposed the truth. And when God's word exposed the truth, Josiah realized that, man, we're out of alignment. You know what we call that these days? We call that conviction. Conviction. And what tends to happen is we get convicted for so many things. I remember before I was a pastor and I was listening to sermons, I'm on the other side of you today. And I remember I was saying to myself, man, that really convicted me today. And I had good intentions to change. Or when you listen to a podcast or something else happens in life and you say, yeah, you know what, Pastor, that really spoke to me this morning. What tends to happen is we say, I'll tell you what, I'm going to deal with the dandelions later. See, what can happen is this: our good intentions can diffuse our convictions. This not yet, soon, later, at an appropriate time. And one of my favorite stories in the Bible of this intentional turning is the story of Zacchaeus. I love Zacchaeus. I love his zeal. I love everything about it. And here he was, Zacchaeus, a tax collector, selfish and greedy. And he meets Jesus, and he has lunch at Zacchaeus' house. And here's what Zacchaeus says. He says, here and now, I give half of my possessions to the poor. If I cheated out anyone with anything, I will pay back fourfold. That's not good intentions. That's intentional. Here and now. And what can happen with our convictions is this. We know there's areas in our lives that we need to turn. And we don't know what to do with that. So we say, you know what? That was a really good point. That was a really great sermon. I'm going to go on Amazon and I'm going to buy a book about that. And so we go on Amazon and we buy a book, or we go and we click and say, I need a podcast more about what this conviction I have in my life. Or we say, you know, it gives me a lot to think about. I think tomorrow I'm going to think about that. But if you know Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus said, here and now, responding to the word of the Lord. But I know it's hard. It's hard for me, it's hard for you to put off the pain of turning. I mean, we see our lawns, we see our yards. I mean, it requires a lot of work, costs some money. It's hard stuff. Confessing sins are difficult. We have good intentions. And we say, well, maybe next week. Maybe later. Or another thing we do is we want to prolong the pleasure. And the reason I say we prolong the pleasure is this. Between intention and action, in between those two, we have to admit sometimes there's pleasure. That gap can be fun. We know that illicit relationship has to end. I mean, we know in our hearts it's not going to be permanent. And we say, well, yeah, we need to change that. But tell you what, we'll do that next week. Because for some of us, we need the escape. Or we can say, yeah, I know we need to align our finances. And yeah, things are out of whack right now. But you know what? It's just manageable enough to get by. And so we tend to take these good intentions and then we mix it with this conviction. And we say, yeah, later. Not only was Josiah's heart responsive to God and his word, but also, secondly, it tells us that he humbled himself. Now, what I find interesting about this with Josiah versus other kings, it said that King Josiah humbled himself. But if you notice and you read in the Bible, all the other kings were humbled, right? They were humbled, but Josiah humbled himself before the Lord. See, there's two ways that things happen. We can either get humbled or humble ourselves. The Bible says that God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And King Manasseh and King Amon, his father and grandfather, understood what that meant. That life is being opposed through God. That nothing seems to be working correctly. That when the God of the universe is opposing you, like it was King Manasseh and King Amon. What happens when we humble ourselves before God? When we humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, is that he becomes our advocate. This humility invites God in. And we can choose denial. We can say, yeah, I know, but, you know, we can compare our yards and say, hey, my yard's fine compared to others around us. Have you seen the people around us? Have you seen their yards? Have you seen what they're doing? Or we can blame others. We can say what Josiah could have really said was this. You think this yard is bad? You know what the problem is? It was because of my father and my grandfather. That's why the yard is bad. He's the one, and they're the one that created the mess. But when we humble ourselves before God, this is not an accident. It's being intentional. So how do we do that? How do we get there? I think one of the ways that we do that is very simple. And one of the reasons that we have a community of faith here, we're not each on islands. We are here together trying to live out life according to God's will in community. And one of the ways we need to do this, is to first say that maybe our life is out of alignment in certain areas of our lives. And maybe part of that humbling is this, is just look across at the lawn beside us that has the grass perfectly manicured. And to humble ourselves to say, you know what? I'm going to walk over to my neighbor. And believe me, this takes humbleness to walk over and say, hey, do you see my weeds? See my flowers? Can you help me? Can you help me to kind of get my lawn in order? That's what the community of faith is about. We all work on doing things together that we can help each other, that we can address this in the community of faith. And sometimes it just takes one step over to the next person to say, hey, I need help. Can you help me? Then in 2 Kings 22:13, it says this. He says, go and pray to God for me. So here's Josiah saying, hey, go and pray to God for me. After 18 years, at age 26 or 27, he's asking for help. He's saying, God, I need your help. 18 years, he was trying to figure out how things are going from an 8-year-old to a 26 or 27-year-old, trying to figure it out without God's word anywhere in sight. And when God's word became apparent to him, and when he read God's word, things changed. And he aligned himself with God. And I just wondered the day that sometimes we can say we've been married for 18 years. 18 years we've been married. And maybe we haven't been doing this marriage thing correctly. Maybe we're not following and doing it the way that God wants us to do it. Maybe it's hard for us to say to our spouse, honey, we're not doing it God's way. We need to pray. We need to seek help. It's the most humbling thing you can do, but God calls us to not only have a responsive heart, but to humble ourselves. And then lastly, it says that he tore his robe and wept. When I read this, he tore his robe and wept. I wonder to myself, has he ever seen that model before? I mean, maybe he heard stories when he was being taught growing up. Maybe some stories came out about people tear out their robes and wept. Maybe he heard about David. Maybe he heard about David, the heart of David. After his affair, in Psalm 51:17, it says this, my sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. You, God, will not despise. See, this intention-action gap, that gap, one of the things that I've experienced with other people is this. When their life gets shorter and their days are shorter, that this intention and action gap seems to close. There's a gentleman years ago that I talked to who was going through all kinds of things, and we went and we spoke to him, my friend and I, and we were talking to him about his life, and he was only days and weeks away from dying. And he had all kinds of things that he wanted to do, should have done. He lamented about the time, about 30 long years, that he has not spoken to his brother, which was just a 9-iron golf swing away from his house. 30 years he had not talked to him. When this gentleman, Bill, decided to give his life to Jesus in his hospital bed at home, all of these good intentions turned into intentionality real quickly. He started talking about this list of all the things that he needs to do. He needs to make sure that his wife goes over and talks to his brother, that can his brother please come over and spend time with him. He wants to make things right. He talked about his daughter and about that he has not had much relationship with. He said, can we do something with her? He talked about some of his finances. I want to make sure that my finances are right for my wife. I need to take care of some of these things. All at once, all these good intentions, the things in his life, all at once came very intentional. And his brother that he had not spoke to in 30 years came over. And they stood by his bedside. And they talked for the first time for 30 years. And there was tears and weeping of this reconciliation, where a hardened heart was now responsive, where he humbled himself, because humility allows us the time that we can do these things. Fast forward 15 years later. I wish I could tell you a kumbaya moment. I wish I could tell you the hallmark ending to the story. Oh, he passed away. His desire was for his family to get along. His desire was for relationships to be mended. But 15 years later, some of his siblings are not talking to one another. Some are having distances. It's not been 30. It's been about 8 or 9 now. See, I'm not here to tell you that everything works out according to the way we had hoped. And the legacy that Josiah left did not pan out with his son either. So we can have good intentions. We can even turn that into being intentional. But we can't control the next generation or the generation after that. But here and now, here and now, we can do something. It doesn't mean we have to tear our robes and weep, but here and now, we can take those good intentions and become intentional. And I pray this morning that God would give you a responsive heart, a humble heart, and that you would go from that good intentions to be intentional. Let us pray. Lord, I pray. Lord, we're all guilty of this. We all have those times where we live in that gap. And Lord, we mean well. We have good intentions. And we wish we could change. And we get inspired by reading the stories with Josiah and Zacchaeus, who takes all those good intentions and just puts us there and says, here and now. And so, Lord, we know that the best time to go from good intentions to be intentional is right now. So, Lord, I pray that you would help us to surrender those things, those things in our lives that we need, that have been convicted of, that we need to change. Lord, give us the strength and the courage to have responsive hearts and a humble heart that would be pleasing to you. And Lord, we also know that like Josiah, like my friend Bill and others, it does not always mean that the legacy will continue, that there's still work to be done. We ask this all in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.